If you'd like a title for my message this morning, it's actually good news. I hope you're stretching out your faith in this season to partner with heaven. I hope you, like me, have taken on this year of harvest as we've declared it at Hope Center and realized that that is not a slogan. You know how corporations come, well, they pay thousands of dollars, millions of dollars perhaps, to marketing companies. We didn't do that. We sat down together and we prayed. And we said, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do in Hope Center in 2025? What is it that you want to speak in and through our church? What is it that you want to make alive to us? And it was this sense that 2025 would be a year of harvest. But I'm so excited about what God is doing because I feel my own faith being stretched towards what God has put in front of us. It's so easy to look at even a video like that with Andrew and the team that went to India and think, that's good. Praise God, I'm a part of something that is doing good things. But somehow in our minds, we often exempt ourselves from the participation of that. And so this morning, I want to share something that I believe is very simple, but I pray that the Holy Spirit begins to grab a hold of your heart about what it is that He wants for you in 2025. That this is not just something that we globally and corporately are doing, like we're some big organization. Friends, we are the church of the living God. And He came to us, and if you want to turn the scripture that we're going to read from this morning, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, if you have a Bible, flick a page or two. If you have an app on your phone, which most people do, and by that I mean the Bible app, not Instagram, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you already know this scripture and you've heard it many times before, but I want to refresh this morning, and I pray God begins to speak to all of us and that His will is done here today. Mark 16 verse 15 says this, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It sounds audacious, right? Jesus is there with His disciples. This is post-resurrection. He's appeared again. He's died. He's risen from the dead. They're still a little bit confused. And His commissioning, His great commission to these 12 people, 11 now because we won't go there. 11 of them standing there thinking, what happens next? What do we do now? And He says this, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Preach the gospel to all creation. There's a quote that gets around, mostly on the internet, which is the source of all quotes. St. Francis of Assisi is credited with this, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I have a problem with that because St. Francis of Assisi never said that. Also, Jesus never said that. And so you can take a photo of that and then delete it very quickly. Preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. Well, St. Francis never said that. In fact, St. Francis was actually a preacher. Like the verbal kind of preacher, like this. I don't think he had a microphone, but He preached. He went around telling people the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And apparently he was so obsessed with preaching that he actually preached to animals, which is why he's the patron saint of animals. Because not only did he decide that he was going to preach to humans, he was so obsessed with practicing his preaching. He would preach to birds. Using words. Not mime. Actual words. And so St. Francis of Assisi never said that, and you can do a deep dive like I did and get all into the nitty-gritty of why he never said this and how it contradicts everything that he was about. But the other point I'd like to make is that Jesus never said it. And just as a side note, quotations are great, stories are great, YouTube, I can say it's great, but it's probably not. Build your theology on what Jesus said. Because sometimes we take things like this and they're wrong and incorrect and there's a lot of misinformation around the world about all kinds of things. But I tell you where there's no misinformation. In here. There is no misinformation in this book. That's a map of Italy. Paul's missionary journeys. There is no misinformation in the good news about Jesus. And so if you're worried about the source of what you're seeing on the internet, what you might be watching on YouTube, maybe a podcast, I can tell you there's a really good answer for you. Just go to the Word. And what the Word says is truth and it's life. And Proverbs says it's like honeycomb. It's good, it's sweet, it's great. It's actually, my friends, good news. God has given us good news. We've been singing all the songs we sung this morning. And team, you were, wah! I wanted to do a lap. I might later. I'm sorry if you've built your theology around what St. Francis of Assisi didn't say. Let's build our theology around what Jesus said. There's words written in red here. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It's a big call. The Greek word Mark 16:15, to preach, means to proclaim or to herald. Keruso. There you go. It sounds Greek, right? Keruso. Sounds delicious, actually. To proclaim, to preach, to herald, to go out and use your words to say something. The image here, because in the Greek language, a lot of the words are actually picture images. It's a town crier. It's the guy who used to go out and yell to share the news. Keruso, go into all the world and proclaim and herald and let everyone know and say it out loud. So this guy, he was the guy who used to go ahead of the king, maybe. Someone important was coming to town and he'd run ahead and he'd call out aloud, sometimes ringing a bell, clanging a cymbal, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming, get ready, the king is coming. And this was this guy's job. So when Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world, the picture that they have in their mind is that they are then to go and be this person who goes from town to town calling out something maybe along the lines of, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. But that's terrifying, right? Because we know that most people fear death less than they fear public speaking. That is an absolute fact. Most of you in this room have less fear of death than if I said, I want you to come up here and talk for 2 minutes. It's true. Oh, that's easy for you to say, Beck. You love it. No, I don't. I love the good news. But this commissioning to proclaim, to preach, to herald, oh, that's a big job. Jesus actually says to his disciples, actually, you need to wait here. Because I've just commissioned you to do something that you're going to feel like is way out of your depth. So in fact, don't go anywhere because I'm going to send someone, the Holy Spirit. And his entire job is to give you boldness and encouragement to do that. Oh, cool. So not only have you asked me to do something, you're actually making a way for me to do that. And I believe at Hope Center here in 2025, there is a refreshing and a renewing and a re-encouraging of the Holy Spirit to bring boldness and courage for us to do what God has called us to do. That we can look at that video and go, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Maybe one day I'll get to go to India. Maybe one day I'll share my faith with someone in the cubicle next to me. Maybe one day I'll be bold enough to invite my neighbor to Alpha. But friends, all we need to do is realize it's actually good news. It's actually good news. The gospel that we have it in earthen vessels, scripture says. You and I are not all that. I love you. But you're not all that. All my job is to be the one who proclaims, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. And he's not coming to judge. He's not coming to condemn. He's not coming to build rules and regulations and religion. He's not coming so that you feel worse about the things that you don't love about yourself. It's good news, my friends. He's coming with grace, and he's coming with joy like we were singing about this morning. He's coming to say, look at what the Lord has done. So what do we say? Preach the gospel at all times, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. But what do we say? Because that's my question, right? I don't know what to say. How many of you know that, and you don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes the biggest barrier to initiating this conversation, to initiating this proclaiming or this heralding is, I don't know what to say. I mean, if you do turn up to work tomorrow morning and just yell, the king is coming, they might not really understand. And maybe that's kept you away from church for a long time. Just the disconnect between what is this all about? What on earth? Well, it's also contained in Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I mean, St. Francis took that literally, like all creation, like the rocks and the birds and all of it. But the Greek word for the word gospel is, I'm going to say this wrong, euangelion. If you go onto the Bible Project, they have a phonetic thing and it'll say it for you, so you don't even have to remember that. But euangelion, it's good news. Our job as believers, Jesus commissioning his 11 remaining disciples, he says this, go into all the world and herald the fact that there's good news. I don't know if you've partaken in any sort of media in the last week. You probably have because you're here and it's 2025 and you're alive. And if you live in a cave, God bless you. Peace be with you, honestly. But there is no good news. Like, no news is good news. That is so accurate. No news is good news. You know why? Because there is no good news, right? So what we are carrying is very unusual. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if you noticed the water cooler conversation on a Monday morning is like, wow. Guess Mondays is a good day because Saturday and Sunday were pretty, wow. I went to the hairdresser the other day and this girl next to me is like just unloading. I mean, like really just like unloading, like decades of trauma kind of unloading on the head, like the person doing her hair. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, whoa. I don't know if like you don't know this person, but she was just like, and then this happened and then my mom and then my sister. And I was like, oh, whoa. And you might work with somebody who feels like that every Monday. You're like, oh, no, I'm not going to ask how their weekend was because 45 minutes later, I need therapy. You know, like, hopefully you're not that person also. But there's not a lot of good news. And yet Jesus said, just go into all the world and be the people that talk about good news. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to like public speaking. He's given us good news. John 3:16, we all know this scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We forget the second part, or John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's actually good news, friends. It's not up to you and I to make new rules. It's not even up to you and I to build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, which means you and I, living stones gathered together, just like we're doing right in this moment. And he said, all I need you to do is just to be the people that proclaim that there is good news. Whether you're going to India and doing an amazing thing, hey, there's good news for those children in India because there's people here in Brisbane who are committed to the mission of getting good news into all the world. But there's good news for your neighbor. There's good news for your family. There's good news for you and for me. There's good news for all of us. And it is this, that Jesus never came to say, hey, fix it up. You should be better. You should try harder. He said, I never came to condemn. I came to save. I came to bring grace and life. You know those memes on the internet, like, if I win the lottery, I won't tell you, but there'll be signs? Three people have seen those. That's cool. I kind of want my believing to be like that. I'll tell you. But before I tell you, you might have noticed I've got good news. Like, don't look like you've been drinking prune juice all week and then be like, do you know Jesus? You know, like, you don't have to come out there and just yell at people all the time and be like, hey, I'm a Christian, you should come to church with me. There'll be signs. There'll be signs in your life that reflect the goodness of a God who has good news for his people, right? There'll be signs in your life when other people feel like hope is gone, that you'll have hope. There'll be peace that passes the understanding of what goes on around the world, and people are going to be like, oh, look at this happening over there, and look at this happening over there, and the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You're right, but I've still got hope because of a guy called Jesus who said, I didn't come here to condemn. I came to save. You know that person in the family chat who just loves to share everything they find funny? Mom, hi. I'm kidding. Like, we share a lot of things. Anyone got a kid in daycare? You know what I mean? We share stuff, like we share germs. If you're on Facebook, conspiracy theories mostly. Or has anyone seen my lost dog? Etc. We share a lot of things. It's part of who we are. It's part of our community. It's a part of the way we're together. But how many of you are old enough to remember a time when someone would send you in the mail a wedding invitation? Remember that moment? And they used to be so intricate. Now it's just a text message and you're like, oh, where is that? But it used to be a big deal. Like, we used to spend, you know, a lot of money preparing these beautifully calligraphied invitations, and it kind of set the tone for what the wedding was going to be like. Is it going to be elegant? Is there a dress code? Is there this? Is there that? I know I'm old, but some of you were like, what? It gave you an idea of what to expect, and Jesus tells this parable to the people listening in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, and he says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests, and at the time of the banquet he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And they all alike began to make excuses. And the first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, I can't come. I mean, if you just got married, it's a free meal. The servant came back and reported this to his master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country towns and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Jesus tells this story, and it's a picture of the kingdom of heaven. And what he's saying is, I'm not inviting you to a multi-level marketing program. I'm inviting you to a banquet. It's actually good news. There's something beautiful about being invited into something beautiful. There's something beautiful about being invited into something that is full of life and joy and good news. It's actually good news that you and I and all of the people in your world and all of your family and all of your friends and the random person that you met on Tuesday have been invited to join with the King of Kings in a banquet so incredible we can't even fathom it. And I'm not just talking about eternity. I'm talking about life as someone who knows that Jesus never came to condemn you, but he came to bring life and life more abundantly. All you and I need to do is be the servant that extends the invitation. But that's very simple. Yeah, it is. It's really simple. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a PhD in theology. You don't need anything. There's a king, and he's preparing a banquet. And he said, would you go out and invite people to join me in my banquet? Would you go and do that? Because I would love people to come. And even when some people are coming, there's still more room. So keep inviting them. There's a limitless banquet called the kingdom of heaven that God says, I just want people to come and be a part of it. We're not the initiators. Thank goodness I'm not the chef. I don't have to prepare the banquet. I don't have to do all the work. Guess what I have to do? Hand a very beautiful invitation to the people that I know to say, would you come and sit with me and eat with me? That's all I have to do. I didn't author the good news. I just have to repeat and share. That's how simple it is, friends. We partner with heaven who authored and began our faith. Here's some reasons why we don't. Whether it's down the road or around the globe, these are some of the reasons that you and I don't participate in this great mission that heaven is calling us to. Number one is persecution. Now, take this with a grain of salt, because we live in Australia, and to be honest, it's a little bit farcical that we would think that we would be persecuted, but you and I know that fear of what if someone fill in the blank. What if my boss tells me that I'm not allowed to be here anymore? What if someone at school or university isolates me? Jesus said to his disciples, in fact, following me will cost you everything. Don't be surprised when people hate you, when they persecute you. Don't be surprised about that. But we allow this fear of persecution to stop us giving the invitation to the people around about us. But friends, I think that's very misunderstood. Because, you know, times I've done experiments in my life, and yes, I know that's a very practical way of saying it, but sometimes I've set myself a challenge of, like, ask 6 people in the next month, would they like to come to church? Just because I'm bored easily and I like doing these kind of things. Anyway, so I'll just, like, find a random person. Sometimes I pay for their petrol or their groceries and then be like, hey, I don't know why I did that. I just felt like maybe you needed it. And so if you're interested, come to church with me. Yes, I'm weird, I know. But you know why I do those kind of things? It's because I don't want to live in fear of persecution that doesn't really exist. I've never had anyone yell at me. I've never had anyone spit on me. I've never had anyone beat me with a stick. I've never really had anything bad or terrible happen to me. People are at liberty to say no to an invitation, right? But if you and I present a beautiful invitation for a banquet, there's very few people in the world that are going to be like, I hate you! We're like, oh, no thanks. We live in a fear of something that really in this country, in this moment, doesn't exist. And we should pray for the people who around the world right now are living in fear of real persecution. And you and I should take courage and boldness that for such a time as this, we've been called to this place right now, and we don't need to live in fear of persecution. We can come to church this morning, worship our God in freedom. Let's not be bound by something that doesn't exist. Perception. They all start with P, and that's nothing spiritual. If you're new, that's not a thing. It's just I can remember stuff. Perception. This is where we feel like, actually, I'm not the right person for this job. I'm not worthy. You're right. We just spent like 5 minutes singing about the one who is worthy, Jesus. You're not worthy. But guess what? You are worthy to say the king is coming because he's made you worthy. And you don't have to do anything more special or more amazing than that. You don't have to be more worthy than you already are today to be somebody who shares the good news. We like this comparison trap, and we repeat it over and over and over of like, those people, they're the ones participating in a year of harvest. They're the ones participating in the mission of God. Those people are qualified. Those people are better at it. I mean, Glenn, he's amazing. He goes into universities and he's just awesome. And Reese, well, he's highly intelligent. I mean, like if someone asked Reese a question, he would know the answer. And Maria, she's just the friendliest person on the planet. Who would say no to Maria? But me, I'm an introvert. I don't really have any social standing, or like I'm just the new person in my workplace, or maybe my neighbors, I don't really know how to start a conversation with them. And we have this perception that other people in the kingdom, other people are more qualified, more well-equipped, more placed and anointed and called by God than we are. And friends, that's just not true. Jesus didn't say, okay, five of you over here, six of you over here, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel, you just stay at home. He said, all of you, yes, even Thomas, even Peter. In fact, Peter, you're going to be out the front. Peter, who has a massive problem with insecurity, Peter, I'm going to ask you to speak. Oh, good, thanks, Jesus. Can't wait for that. But guess what happens in Acts 1 verse 8? The Holy Spirit comes and overwhelms what their natural personality would allow them and encourage them to do, and says, yeah, now go into all the world and be bold and unashamed about putting out the beautiful invitation to join the kingdom of heaven. Third one is procrastination, and we'll talk about that next week. Number four is powerlessness. To me, this is the kicker. Because I look around the world and think, man, I'm one person. Like, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel. My little drop in the bucket, is it anything? Like, I'm just one person. I'm not called to be an evangelist, so can't they do it? They're the ones going, they're the ones giving, they're the ones praying. Then we go across to Acts 1 verse 8. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus really likes this ends of the earth thing. He's really committed that you and I don't just care about mine and my small world and my little patch. He says, I'm really determined that my people are going to cover the earth with the beautiful invitation to join the kingdom of heaven. So friends, what do we do? I got three P's for you, and then we're going to pray. Number one is pray. You know what? I can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You could be the most charismatic, amazing person on the planet. I need the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples, stay and pray. Pray. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers. Pray. Pray for this mission that I've called you to. Pray for yourself. Pray for the people around about you. Pray on all occasions, about all things. If you find yourself falling into the excuses about why you can't participate in this great mission, pray. Say, God, I feel discouraged. I feel powerless. God is so okay with your honest prayer. He's listening. He's not waiting for you to repeat some perfect, you know, catechism. He says, if my people, anyone, will just call out my name, I'm listening and I'm right there. I'm ready to answer. I want to be a part of this with you. I want to partner and be co-laborers. Prayer is not the precursor to the work of the gospel. It is a vital part of our participation in what God is doing on this earth. The second one is prepare. Remind yourself that you're not the answer. You're just the invitation bearer. When it comes to our missions offering next week, no one of us is the answer. No one of us is going to go to all the places. But we can prepare our hearts and say, God, what's my part to play? Sometimes we just think that somehow heaven is just going to land it in our lap and it's just going to appear out of nowhere and we have no part to play and we're just here. You're just like a jellyfish in the kingdom of God, just like blobbing around. Can I encourage you? Prepare your heart. In a year of harvest, say, okay, God, I'm in. What is it that you want me to do? And number three, I've already talked about this, partner. Friends, I'm not the power and I'm not the good news. The great freedom of that is that I get to carry the power and the good news. I am not the power and I'm not the good news, but guess what? I have the power and I have the good news because of what God has done on the inside of me. How freeing and exciting and amazing is that? Whether it's right next door to your home or on the streets of India, I don't have to have everything all together, but I can partner with heaven. This morning, I want to pray for us. And I know your hearts are already leaning in. From the beginning of this service, the Holy Spirit was already doing something. Some of you here, maybe this morning, you say, I just don't feel like I have what it takes. I want you to walk out free this morning. Letting go of those lies, letting go of those excuses, letting go of those things that say, I can't come to the banquet, Jesus, because this and this and this and this, and here's my reasons. And he says, just come. Just come and be a part of what I'm doing on the earth. Just come and participate. Just come and join with heaven. Maybe you feel powerless in this moment. Maybe life has just disappointed you. Can I encourage you this morning to open up your heart and let the Holy Spirit do something fresh to fill you again? Maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for years and you might say, I pray in tongues, I know what that is. Yeah, but keep being filled. Keep being filled. I have electricity that goes to my house, but if I don't turn the switch on, I don't get any power, right? Sometimes you just need to take a moment and say, fill me again, Holy Spirit. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in boldness. Maybe you say, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We would love to pray with you today. Pentecost Sunday's coming on the 5th of June, I think. But that's 2 whole months. Why wait? If you say today, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I need that power at work in my life, then I encourage you this morning, we're going to pray with you and for you and believe that the Holy Spirit will do exactly what he said in your life. Maybe this morning you're fearful. I want to pray that his power will overwhelm that fear. You might have run through this in your mind so many times about, I want to be a part of this. I want to partner with heaven, but I'm so scared. I'm scared of persecution. I'm scared of the perception of what people will think about me. I'm scared of being excluded or ostracized. Friends, today you can walk out free of that fear. If God before you, who can be against you? Maybe today you're hearing this for the first time. In a moment, I'd love to pray with you. It's actually good news, friends. I don't know what you've heard about Jesus. I don't know what you've heard about this Bible, that maybe there's rules and regulations. I don't know even what you've heard about church or maybe experienced. But I want to tell you this morning, there is a God who loves you deeply, just as you are, right where you are. And maybe you've known God before, but you've walked away. He still loves you, friend. He's calling you home this morning. He says,
come to me, if you take a moment just to draw near, I'll draw near to you. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed here this morning, we're just going to take a moment, and if that's you and you say, I'm not walking with God, maybe this is the first time you're hearing this whole thing about Jesus, but you know something on the inside says, I need Jesus today. I need to say yes. Or maybe you once walked with God, but honestly, you feel so far away from Him in this moment. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you this morning. If that's you, while people around you are praying, would you just give me a wave? Say, yeah, that's me. Awesome, I see your hand. Anybody else this morning? Say, yeah, I need Jesus. I need to draw near to Him. I need Him in my life this morning. Maybe you're online. You can reach out in the chat right now in this moment. I'm looking for you, but way more than me, God is looking for you this morning. He loves you, friend. He loves you just as you are. I see your hand. That's awesome. Anybody else this morning, you'd like to join those people in saying yes to Jesus? Then we're going to pray. We're going to all pray this prayer together. You can repeat it after me. It's very simple. It says this, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you today. Would you come and live with me? I want to make you the center of my life. Please forgive me. I want to start again. I want a brand new life today. I want to walk with you. Amen. Amen.